Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Get Yourself the Job. My name's Allison Garrido, and I'm so pleased to be here today while Jennifer's traveling. I've been a regular guest host on the show and sometimes guest, and I really enjoy being here every time. So as a career coach, I help people identify their strengths and find their next move in their career. I look at interview preparation. We also do salary negotiation and even performance reviews. So my job is to help people present themselves in the best possible light for job search and career advancement. And there's lots and lots of resources that I use to help my clients and for my own professional development. And one of them is Career Contessa. I am so pleased to be here today with Lauren McGoodwin. So thank you for being here, Lauren.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So I'll share a little bit about Lauren with you today. Lauren's the founder and CEO at Career Contessa, which is the leading career development platform for women. Lauren launched Career Contessa in 2013 after experiencing a gap in career development resources for women who might be job searching, soul searching, leading and managing, or trying to find new ways to advance within their careers. With women accounting for more than 50% of the workforce and the workforce being less defined than ever before, it seemed crazy and outdated that resources for women didn't exist. Together with a talented team, Career Contessa now provides expert career advice, access to career counseling and jobs, and development tools to over 1 million women a year. Wow. Career Contessa is more than a job site. It's a one-stop resource that's helping women build successful careers. Prior to launching Career Contessa, Lauren worked as a recruiter at Hulu and completed her master's in communication management from USC, where she wrote her thesis on millennial women and career resources. When Lauren's not running Career Contessa, she can be found riding her beach cruiser in Redondo Beach with her husband. Thank you again for joining us, Lauren.
Thank you. I didn't realize I had such a long intro.
Yeah, no, it's a good one. It gives people a full picture of who you are, and then we get to learn even more.
Yeah, exactly.
So I mentioned a little bit in the intro about how you worked at Hulu, but tell us a little bit more about you and how you came to be with Career Contessa, to be Career Contessa, really.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I really think about it, I think this started back in college. I went to University of Oregon, and my plan was to become an elementary school teacher. And somewhere around junior year, I decided, nope, not going to do that. I don't think I can be with kids all day long like that. And I decided I was going to go into marketing, which, you know, I like to use the quotation marks around that because it's like, what is marketing? That was such a broad, you know, area of focus that I decided I wanted to change my whole career for. And so I really became kind of obsessed with career sites and sites that would talk to you about internships and career paths. So it really started there. And I like to say I was the Career Center's poster child. So I got an internship in marketing that summer, you know, checked off all the boxes, had a great resume, went to every career, you know, fair and event they had. And I still graduated with no job and really not even a clue of what I wanted to do. And so I moved to Los Angeles, and where there was a bigger job market, because I also graduated in 2009, which wasn't great. And so I took a job working in admissions for a university, and I could tell from the interview process that I just wasn't going to like this job. And I thought, it's all right. You can do whatever, you know, it will be fine. You got to pay the bills. And I didn't really even have an idea of how much hating my job was going to actually affect all parts of my life. So I was unhappy. I was struggling to make friends. My relationship was getting a little rocky. And so I realized pretty quickly, I hate this job and it's affecting me, and I've got to figure out what I want to do. And I also was kind of getting scared. I was like, is this the way the rest of my life is going to be? Mm-hmm. So I had a random assignment to do some recruiting when I worked at this university. Loved it. It was the only part of my job I loved. I told my parents about it, and they were like, oh, why don't you consider becoming a recruiter? I think my jaw hit the ground. I was like, what are you talking about? That's a job. So that was where I kind of got the spark for recruiting and what that was. And after I'm not afraid of being told no. And so I ended up having, I reached out to 70 different recruiters, female recruiters, coincidentally, on LinkedIn to see if they would have an informational interview with me. Because at that point in my life, I was learning more about career paths and what jobs were like and how people were getting to them by talking to real women than I ever did from school. You know, right. I loved school, but I just the Career Center, you know, no offense. They just, it wasn't helpful like that. Sure. 30 of those women got back to me. I learned everything I could about recruiting. And from that, I basically was able to narrow down that I wanted to work in university recruiting and I wanted to work for a tech startup. So that led me to Hulu. And then while I was at Hulu, I basically had these personal experiences. I was at Hulu. I loved my job. It was shocking to me how much loving my job then positively affected my life.
Right.
And I was also writing my thesis on millennial women and career resources, obviously. I really had like a perfect storm happening of like interests, passions, and then like actual job. And so I turned all of that into Career Contessa. And people are like, well, you know, so you started it because you were a recruiter. I didn't actually start it to become a job site. I started it to become a complete comprehensive career resource for women because it's not just getting the job. It's then when you're in the job, how do you negotiate for that raise? And again, being a recruiter, I was doing this thing where I was recruiting people to work there. And if they left, I would go to the manager and be like, hey, what's going on? We just recruited this role for you. And so then I was starting to get really into talent development. Mm-hmm. So I created Career Contessa because it didn't exist. There was no career resource for women. All the career resources that were out there were outdated. They were boring. And I thought careers, I have kind of a natural interest and passion in this. I bet I could make this a lot cooler and a lot more fun. And again, no offense to the Career Center, but while they had a lot of resources, it wasn't coming from the experts, right? Mm-hmm. The people who are actually recruiting, the hiring managers who are reviewing and having interviews with you, the bosses who are negotiating salaries. So that's a very long answer to your question. That was really what brought me to Career Contessa and why I'm so passionate about it, not just being a jobs board, which is what a lot of career sites end up doing, is they have a recruiting model and their job is just to, you know, it's transactional. It's like, get a person in, get a person a job, get a person in, have them apply. And they don't really care if you're the right person for the job, and they definitely don't care if you're happy in the job.
Right. So it's interesting. I don't think, well, thank you for sharing your story with us first. It's nice to see that you've had success in your career, but it wasn't always a straight line. And I think
definitely not.
When we look at people, we make up a story,
definitely.
Right? Like, oh, Lauren's perfect, and clearly she
she knew from the beginning,
and now she's living the dream.
Yep.
And you are living the dream and loving your job, but there's a windy path to get there. Oftentimes.
Absolutely.
So don't forget that. It's not always straight, and it's not always easy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting that you bring up the job board part of it, because I don't think of Career Contessa as a job board, but you have started to post jobs recently. So how did that come about? Have you found the companies? What's that been like?
Yeah. And so it's funny is I think I tried to stay away from that for a long time, and you just can't. You know, at the end of the day, people come to Career Contessa and they are unhappy at their job and they want to apply to other jobs. Mm-hmm. And so we've actually had a jobs board for a long time, but I've been very selective about what companies were on there. And I wasn't outwardly recruiting companies to come on. So now what I do is companies that are supportive of hiring women, supportive of women's careers and what that means, meaning they offer flex time or, you know, they are dedicated to equal pay, you know, things that matter.
Right.
I'm really selective at making sure the right companies are posting jobs on our site. And that was sort of a matter of just like opening the floodgates. I mean, companies are always trying to recruit. And I think more importantly, companies are always trying to recruit women to come work at their companies. There's obviously, we don't need to go through it, but there's a lot of research that tells you that companies will improve not just their bottom line, but also their engagement by having more women at work and more female leaders, more importantly. So, I'm really excited that now we have a jobs board, because I know that a job search is a huge part of a person's career path, you know. So even though I was reluctant, it's okay. And I think what's important is for me, if we're going to have a jobs board, that we need to be giving people the right tools so that they are able to not just apply to everything. They're able to apply with a strong application and have a successful interview. So what I always say is, like, if you're going to give them, you know, the ability to apply for jobs, you have to give them the before and the after part of that as well.
Right. Absolutely. And it's funny that you mentioned that people, if they're looking at career advice, they want to see the jobs. Mm-hmm. And when I think about Career Contessa having jobs on the website, I think of companies wanting, like, your content is really sophisticated. It's smart. It's geared towards women and a specific kind of woman who is kind of really paying attention to her career. Don't you say her career is her hobby?
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, we always joke, she's like a career lifestyle junkie. Like, mm-hmm. she loves thinking about her career, thinking about advancement. They're very concerned with making sure they're doing all the right things to set themselves up for the right, you know, promotion or new job opportunity, etc. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you said that the people wanted it, I was thinking, gosh, the companies must want the people who are reading.
Right. Yes, absolutely. No, the companies. So we also recently launched company profiles. And that's been sort of interesting because we've had all these companies wanting to work with us. And it's like, okay, how can we find a way to work with these companies and scale that? And so by offering company profiles, which allows us to showcase what it's like to work at a company, how to get hired there, and we work with them as partners, then it's kind of like, okay, look, now that you're showing people what it's going to take to be successful at the interview there, now we'll allow you to post your jobs. Mm-hmm. So yeah, one came, you know, with the other naturally. But we've definitely have had a lot of companies interested in saying, you know, we want to recruit career-driven women, mm-hmm. and that's what you have. So that's helpful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how did you find them? How do you think you've attracted so many people to the site?
To career, the users, not the companies?
Right, the users.
Yeah, well, a lot of different ways. And I'm very much subscribed to kind of the lean startup model where I try it. If it sticks, you know, I throw it on the wall. If it sticks, we stick with it. Mm-hmm. If not, we let it go. So some of the ways, originally, well, one of the things we do is we have an interview series with women on there. So we'll interview real women in a variety of industries and different stages of their career. And then they might share their, you know, we hope that they're going to share their interview with their company or their friends. We also do a lot of guest writing. Mm-hmm. So I'll guest write. I'm the career contributor for a number of lifestyle sites, actually, which is really great. We also have a ton of free resources. So I've actually been told that our resources are better than what people are getting from like their MBA's Career Center. Wow. So we've got downloadable resources like email templates, you know, scripts on how to prepare your personal pitch and what it should have. So we've got those downloadable resources. And then we have started to do or host webinars. So we might have a variety of co-hosts come on and host webinars with us. So all of that content, I mean, it all lives under the content, you know, umbrella, but all that content is with other people. So a lot of collaboration and then a lot of getting our expertise out to other platforms that don't maybe traditionally talk about careers or career advice, I should say.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned something that I really love about the site, which is your interviews with mm-hmm. women. Could you share maybe like what's your favorite interview or the one that people are always asking about?
Yeah, it's so interesting. We have over like 300 interviews mm-hmm. and they are actually how I started the site, which was finding interesting women and asking them, hey, how did you get your start? What is your day to day like? You know, what's your advice for us? And one thing that we do differently is we actually have a professional photographer go to every single person's, we call them contessas, every contessa's workplace to take photos. So that you have the visual to put with the advice or the content. The popular contessas are usually, and this probably won't be surprising, but people who either work for big brands, like we've interviewed people from Facebook and BuzzFeed and Google and Airbnb, I mean, all the kind of brand names that you're probably familiar with. But some of the other really popular ones are the female entrepreneurs. So we've had Ali Webb from Drybar, Ellen Bennett from Headley and Bennett recently, Kat Sadler of E! Entertainment. So those naturally get a lot of popularity because they have larger audiences. Some of my favorite interviews, we actually just interviewed the VP of HR at General Electric, and her name is Susan Peters, and she had fantastic advice. And one of my favorite quotes is she talks about your hallway reputation, which is essentially a personal brand or a professional brand. And I love it because she's renamed it with something that seems a little less scary, you know, and something people can understand a little bit more. We've had the first editor-in-chief of National Geographic has been on our site. So we've had some big names. We had a rocket scientist on there.
So I
love the interviews series that we've done, and they've always been really fascinating to me because women are usually more willing to get a little bit vulnerable in those interviews versus if we're just talking about a specific topic. So we just, last week we focused on moms at work because of Mother's Day, and how do they balance that, and how old are their kids? And I don't have kids, but I'm so curious to know, how do you do it as a working mom? So the interviews have been fantastic for that.
That's great. Yeah, and I've seen some of the themes emerge over the last couple months where it was all about salary negotiation and equal pay, and then the Mother's Day. So it's really great because when you can see the theme, you know there's more to come on a topic.
Right. Yeah, those are fun for us too. I mean, what's nice about career content is that it's evergreen, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, yes, LinkedIn changed, so we'll have to change our LinkedIn advice, but most of it is somewhat evergreen. So with the months, we're able to get a little bit more creative in the advice we're giving, or just make it a little bit more relatable since people were naturally thinking about Mother's Day, for example.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the interviews and how you've had some big names. And I know that it sounds like you're kind of continuing the informational interviews that you did to decide that this was your career path.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now it's really complementing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you've also set up a model where some of those people that you're interviewing, actually your readers will get access to them with Hire a Mentor. Mm-hmm. So tell us more about what that looks like.
Yeah. So one thing I was finding is we were giving people all this great career advice, and it's free and they can go on there and they can read it, but it's very self-directed. And what we all know about careers is that they're super personal. And like you mentioned earlier, they're not a straight line. They ebb and flow. And there are times in your career where, yeah, you could figure it out, but you could also talk to a real expert and save yourself the time and the headache of, you know, figuring out this career move and talk to the expert. But if you were to Google career coach, there's like 33 million results that come up.
Oh yeah.
So I was finding kind of, again, a couple of problems. We had career content that was written, but it was very self-directed. Finding a career coach was often difficult and challenging unless you had a friend who tried it and you had a referral. Mom and dad are not always the best to give you advice.
Right.
Your best friend's also maybe not the best person to give you advice. And so here we were as a trusted career resource for women. And so I decided, you know, what we really need to do is offer a one-on-one career counseling service. And we pre-vet every single mentor that's on there. And just so you guys know, Allison is one of our mentors. So we pre-vet every mentor, and we call them career mentors instead of career coaches, just because we don't want anyone to be intimidated by like the quote unquote career coach. Because normally people think of career coaches as something only executives get, and that's absolutely not true. So with Hire a Mentor, it's one-on-one career counseling. You can book one of the pre-vetted mentors that we have on there. They will work with you one-on-one for an hour to give you some actionable tips and advice on whatever challenge it is that you're facing. I like to think of it as on-demand career advice. Mm-hmm. And I'm a millennial, and the millennial generation is big on demand. We like instant gratification with everything. And we've actually even, you know, we have it so you can filter the mentor so you can find exactly what you're looking for. I'm always happy to recommend the right person. People can leave reviews. So you can actually do a lot of research on the mentors as well. But I mean, it's so much easier than Googling. We've already narrowed it down for you. And then we have mentors that specialize in what we call career fit. So if you're trying to figure out what your next career move is, you're going to want to work with one of them. Job search, which is kind of self-explanatory, but everything from applying to jobs, resumes, mock interviews, salary negotiation, and then career growth. So career growth is definitely people who are thinking about career advancement, having those performance reviews, maybe managing people for the first time, et cetera. So I love Hire a Mentor. I think everyone should have their own personal career coach.
Absolutely. And it seems like, and I've scrolled through quite a bit to see who's on there and what people are doing, right?
A lot of them are
my peers, right?
Yeah.
And colleagues. But I noticed that there's not everybody is a full-time career coach. Like, right, this mm-hmm. is my job. My practice is the only thing I do. But there's people that work at SpaceX and yeah. in different companies.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was important to me that hire a mentor have, similar to the Contessa interviews, where we have a variety of women who are skilled at providing actionable advice. So one of the things that's really important is that, yes, we have career coaches. We have people who are recruiters that work at, you know, Uber and Facebook and SpaceX and, you know, advertising firms, et cetera. We also have women that work in a variety of leadership positions. So we've got like a strategist that works at Google. So those are the women who are in the day-to-day trenches, recruiting, working with hiring managers, you know, leading teams, giving feedback. And so what's really nice about those, you know, we have a variety of talent development experts. We have one woman who's an expat mm-hmm. and works for a company in London. So if you're thinking about how do I go work for a company internationally, she would be the person to talk to. So it was important to me to make sure that we had a broad group of women on there that were not only able to do the job and willing to do the job, but had those different backgrounds so that whatever you're looking for, you can feel like I'm talking to someone who's been there and successfully done that already. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to worry about, is this going to be a good use of my time or money?
Gotcha. Gotcha. I feel like we've talked all about the website. I'm obviously yeah. a big fan of the website, but we should also talk about some, you know, some advice that we both have lots mm-hmm. and lots to yes. share. And I wonder often, what are kind of the most common questions that people come to you about or are searching for on the site?
Yeah, certainly people have a lot of job search questions. And I think that makes sense because when people are actively job searching, they're kind of having the most urgency when it comes to their career. So, you know, I'll get a lot of questions about how do I get my resume seen, or how do I applied for this job and I never heard back? How do I get that noticed? Other questions we're starting to get around are kind of like, I guess you could call them like career soft skills. So how do I become more confident at work? Okay, I want to create a portfolio site, or I want to update my LinkedIn profile so that recruiters can come find me. Like, what's a good way to be doing that? Definitely though, I would say job search is what I get the most.
Gotcha. So that big question of how do you get your resume noticed? What are some of the things that you share with people on how to do that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've looked at a lot of resumes and nothing's more boring than going through a lot of resumes. So my first advice always is make sure your resume is beautiful to look at, right? It's the brand that's representing you. And a lot of people, you'd be shocked, they just fill out a regular Word doc with size 12 Times New Roman, you know, mm-hmm. and it's not telling me anything other than their name, their email, and their responsibilities. And mm-hmm. really, that's not very helpful for a recruiter. I want to see what have you accomplished, and I want to be able to find the information that's important to me as quickly as possible. So if you put everything, you know, kind of all in one size, I can't really feel, I have no idea what's the most important thing for me to look at. So first thing I always say is looks matter. Spend the time, invest in a resume template, whatever you have to do to make sure that resume is great. Also, a strong resume ends up helping people way more than they even think, because we use your resume to interview you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if your resume is this outline that's about all your accomplishments and not just your responsibilities, I'm able to say, oh my gosh, you increased the email open rate by 30%. How did you do that? That is a way more interesting interview question and conversation altogether than, okay, so you manage the email. Tell me more about that, right? Because now we're picking out specific items. And what I always tell people is when we would interview people, and even today when we interview people, everyone on the team is going to interview that person. And then we're probably going to go in a room and talk about them.
Of course.
You don't want to be the guy that no one can even remember your name. You want to be the guy that everyone says, oh my gosh, they had such a great looking resume. Oh, the girl with the really good resume, that one. That's who you're talking about? Yeah, yeah. And I was able to ask her about this and this and this. You want to be that person. So again, looks matter, but also the content on your resume matters. Make sure that you're only putting content on the resume that's going to matter to the recruiter. Like mm-hmm. one of the questions I like to tell people to ask themselves beforehand is, would they care about that? Would that mean anything to them? Because again, we're scanning it. We're spending 5 to 7 seconds just to get you in a yes, no, or maybe pile. Mm-hmm. If you're in the yes pile, then we're going to take a deeper look. But you know, you have really one shot to make it into one of those good piles.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, and it's so important to not just list the tasks or the responsibilities. And
totally agree.
Responsible for is one of my, I don't have a lot of rules because I think your resume is something that's totally personalized for you. But responsible for is, it's there a lot. And for me, I always think it's followed by a much better verb.
Right.
And so you're burying the lead a little bit.
Right.
People have different thoughts on that, but
yeah, absolutely. And I know when I say list out your accomplishments and not your responsibilities, I immediately feel like people start to panic because they're like, what if I don't have any accomplishments? Mm-hmm. You do. You know, one of the, I like to tell people to make a chart where on the left-hand side, you're going to list out all the responsibilities that the job description is asking you to have or you will have, right? The requirements or the responsibilities of the job. Mm-hmm. And then, so you do that on the left-hand side. And then on the right-hand side, you're going to write out everything that you've done that compares to that. So if they're looking for someone who has excellent verbal and written communication skills, maybe your, on the flip side, what you've done, your accomplishments, or you could even say your responsibility if that word scares you, you would say something like, I have never, responded to an email request in less than 48 hours or something. Like maybe your thing is that maybe that doesn't seem like an accomplishment, but the fact that you're really great with communication, you always get back to people, it's an accomplishment for sure.
Absolutely. And going through your resume to find the accomplishments, doing that exercise, like you said, job search is a moment where you might not feel so confident.
Right.
And gosh, the boost that people get after a resume conversation, it's amazing.
Yep.
It's such a fun exercise to go through for me because I get to hear people like really realize like, I've done a lot.
Yeah.
Hey, look at that. And it's wonderful.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, really, that's why, look, you can pay someone to do your resume. I get it. But I'm telling you, it will pay you back 10 times over if you take the time to create your resume. And, you know, the little trick here is create your resume, take the time to do it, you know, a good job with it before you're in this panic urgency to need to apply and meet a deadline for a job, right? And so I'm really a fan of having a master resume that you're kind of keeping updated year round. You could even use your LinkedIn as sort of that version if you wanted to. Because what I find is people don't have a resume, don't think about it, and then they're like, oh, I have this dream job I want to apply for. And they spend a couple hours updating this resume that they used 4 years ago to get a job. Mm-hmm. And you're like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right. No, it's true. It's great to have that working document going.
Yeah.
And you don't really have to be looking for a job to find you.
Most of my time at Hulu was spent sourcing people on LinkedIn, you know? Mm-hmm. So I actually didn't like going through resumes, and this might be tough to admit to people, but I didn't really love going through resumes, and I didn't always have them, you know, high success going through them. So a lot of times I would use the LinkedIn recruiter tool and I would go and find my own candidates. So, I mean, depending on what you're recruiting for, oftentimes you might not be even looking at anything that comes in. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to keep your LinkedIn updated. I always tell people, I'm like, you know that old saying when mom and dad said, you know, job's not going to come and knock on your door. It will if you're on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And it will if you are keeping that updated and you're engaged with it. Because everybody's using LinkedIn Recruiter. I think it's like 97% of recruiters use it to source. Mm-hmm. So
what do you think if I was going to make one change, or if our listeners were going to make one change to their LinkedIn to get noticed, what would be important?
Yeah, so LinkedIn works very much like a search engine, and search engines love keywords. So what I always tell people is go find those keywords that are either, so let's say you worked in email marketing right now, and you wanted to continue to stay in email marketing. So what are the keywords around email marketing? You know, maybe it's a specific type of software, or, you know, I don't know, a specific strategy when it comes to email marketing, but find those keywords and start to scatter them all throughout your profile. So that includes your summary. If you don't have a LinkedIn summary, that's the first thing I tell people to have, is have a LinkedIn summary where you're telling us who you are and what you do and, you know, what you're interested in. And if you can't put your keywords into your summary in a natural way, and anybody can go look at my LinkedIn summary. It's Lauren McGoodwin, and you'll see the visual of what I'm saying. But at the bottom of my LinkedIn summary, I just have a ton of keywords listed out, and it says specialties, colon, and it has all my keywords. Mm-hmm. That's great for a search engine, right? And if LinkedIn is working similar to a search engine, anybody that's looking for someone that has anything to do with talent development or talent acquisitions and lives in Los Angeles, I'm probably popping up for them. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I would tell people is, yes, have a summary and then create that list of keywords and put those keywords in your summary as well as in your experience section, because those are the two main areas that it's going to be searching for. LinkedIn's algorithm is going to be searching through.
Great. Yeah, and it's funny, you mentioned the keywords and finding the things that people are talking about. I think it goes back to what we're talking about with resumes, too, is you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
No, not at all.
We're not all starting from scratch. Like, find your peers in the same industry as you, in the same job, or better, in the job you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you can, you are not going to copy something word for word, of course.
No, and they don't own that keyword. Mm-hmm. Nope. You know, you get to say talent acquisition. Mm-hmm. It's okay. And I think you're right. I think looking at examples of real people, mm-hmm. I think it doesn't matter whether you are working on creating a personal pitch, asking for a raise, creating a resume, or updating your LinkedIn. Looking at real life examples is always super helpful. And you might have to look at a few of them, you know, because not everybody's active on LinkedIn. So I always tell people, keep looking until you find enough examples to inspire you.
Yeah, you'll find that match where you're like, oh my gosh, she nailed it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny, I have a personal story. My husband, as you can imagine, my husband has a pretty strong resume. He received a resume from somebody who used to work for him because he was going to pass it on. And he said to me, Allison, his resume looks exactly like mine. And I said, well, is it true? You know, was he, you know, yeah. He made it his own, but he took that format and he worked for my husband. So he had similar experience just a couple years before. So it was really interesting.
Yeah, no, and that's okay. Right. You know, it's, and what I think happens is, you know, you want to get to that yes pile with your resume, and then they're going to invite a couple people in for the interview. Very rarely are they only interviewing one person, and I would highly encourage people not to interview one person. And then it's going to come down to, for example, if your husband and that guy were going out for the same job, it's going to come down to who has a better conversation with them. Who mm-hmm. do they think, I mean, they're not really supposed to do this, but it's so funny because it's like, who is the best culture fit? Who feels like they're the most like them? Mm-hmm. That's usually what it ends up happening. It's like, I really like both of these people. They could both do the job, but I think this guy is just a better fit for the team, mm-hmm. or maybe fills in a gap that they have, that there's nothing wrong with either, but that personality just fills a little bit more of a gap that they have. And that's okay. You know, your goal is to at least be the guy that gets the interview.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's what that resume and the cover letter mm-hmm. does. We haven't talked about cover letters at all. Are you in the camp of they don't matter?
No, I'm actually not at all, which I know I'm probably alone in that camp, but
I'm with you.
I had a hiring manager, really smart woman. I really respected her. And she told me, don't bring me a resume unless it has a cover letter and a good cover letter. And after that, I was like, oh my God, these really matter, because she was the head of PR and she obviously didn't want to hire anyone that couldn't write. Sometimes they will look at the cover letters to narrow down who they should select, right? And so the more information you're able to give them and show off your skills, and, you know, good communication skills are pretty much 100% necessary these days.
Right.
So the more you give them that information, I think just the better your odds are. I mean, unless they really say, do not send a cover letter, I always say follow the rules. Whatever they're asking for, do it. But yeah, I'm actually a huge fan of cover letters. I like them.
I agree. I think that your resume is kind of the black and white of mm-hmm. your job search, right?
Yeah.
It's sentence fragments. Even if you have a fun, creative resume, it's still a resume, right? It's sentence fragments. You're just kind of like giving the information, quick snapshots. And your cover letter is really where the color comes.
Yeah.
You get to not just say, I increased emails openings by 30%, but you say, I realized I loved email marketing when.
Yep.
And you get
you tell
to
your
really
story.
Show. Yeah.
Another question I get asked a lot is, how do you show gaps on your resume? And so the cover letter almost becomes more important if your story isn't as cohesive as maybe, you know, the traditional person that might be applying. Right. And I think a lot of employers are okay with people switching careers and they're okay with those non-traditional stories. But you got to have a story, right? It's got to make sense. And it can't just be like, yeah, I just took a couple years off. It's like, why? How? Mm-hmm. When? I mean, like, is this going to be something interesting? And I'm sure everyone has an interesting story about that when they tell their friends. So why not, I mean, within reason, tell those details to your employer or potential employer?
Absolutely. I get the same three worries that come up over and over for me with new clients or people I'm talking with, and it's the gap of employment, mm-hmm. lack of a college degree, mm-hmm. which is not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know,
a lot of people don't even put education on anymore.
Yeah. And then the last is age discrimination. People get worried about age discrimination. And I always say those three things, right, there are things that are going to be there and that you'll be nervous about, but they fade away the moment someone says, hey, you've got to talk to Lauren. I know she'd be the best person for the job. I might be looking at a stack of resumes and have mm-hmm. a cover letter that's not so interesting and say, okay, I need any reason to put Lauren's resume aside.
Yeah.
But not if someone says she's the person you have to talk with. That's why networking can be so important.
It's, I can't remember the stat, but it's like 7 out of 10 people get hired through networking. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that means 30% of people are probably getting it through applications or, I mean, but still that's a really low number. So I definitely found my job at Hulu through networking. And even though I was probably the best person for the job, I had to make sure that my resume got in front of a real person's eye. So I was, you know, reaching out to them via email and getting in front of them that way. The girl who took my job at Hulu when I left was actually someone I had an informational interview with, and I remembered it because she followed up. So then I was like, oh, you know, I'm leaving. I think you might be great for it. And she's still there. So networking is so, so important. And I think the key to networking is that you think about it as you're building relationships. And, you know, when you're building relationships, you're not thinking about it, what's in it for me or how can I get this person to refer me for a job. And I mean, that's why there's the whole, you know, always be networking kind of mm-hmm. saying out there, because, and if you think of it as relationship building instead of networking, maybe you'll feel a little better about mm-hmm. it. you know, everyone, I think, has a weird, like, feeling about networking, but they like relationship building, you know, mm-hmm. so.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it's about, because it would be so hard for me to recommend someone, and I actually, you know, made a mistake of recommending someone after our first visit once, and boy, I'm not going to do that again.
You know, it takes a lot for me to recommend someone, mm-hmm. and I had the same experience. I recommended someone once, and she sent her resume, and I think she spelled the person's name wrong in the email out. And I have nightmares about this, and I basically had this moment of like, my referral or my recommendation is worth too much. So mm-hmm. I can't just put it out there for anybody. And so I'm really, really careful. I mean, I guard that, you know, very carefully. And if you ask me for a recommendation or a testimonial, you know, I hope that you're asking because we've been friends for a while and I really do, you know your product or know what it's like to work with you, because you're right. It only takes one for you to kind of feel the backlash for years sometimes too.
Right. Right. And you know, everybody has had that lesson, just mm-hmm. like we have. So it's important when you're starting to network that you do think about it as building relationships, because I think so many people say like, oh, well, I didn't get any leads from that networking event, so I won't go back.
Right.
And it's so much more than that.
Yeah. No, it's not transactional like that. And then the other thing I tell people is, some of the best networking or relationship building you could be doing is within your own company. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you how many people I know that are now, like my other companies, my network of people who work at cool companies in LA that I would potentially want to work for if mm-hmm. Career Contessa didn't work out has multiplied by 10, right? Because I did a ton of networking with people, and maybe it's just because I was a recruiter and you kind of get to naturally know people. But when I worked at Hulu, I was networking with people in all different departments, and now they work at other companies. And mm-hmm. so I also would say, you know, make sure you take advantage of what you have right in front of you also. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice way to kind of start the relationship building or networking without the pressure of I'm applying for a job and I need this person to refer me.
Right. Absolutely. You just kind of keep in touch.
Right. Exactly.
I had someone tell me last week, we had an initial conversation, and she was talking about using her network to get in front of potential job openings. And she said, I just don't want to use my connections to get a job. I want to feel like I really earned it. What's your thought on that?
I mean, you have earned it, right? You've been building those relationships, and I mean, as long as you're not going to drop them like a hot potato after you get your job, then you have earned it, you know, and you are going to continue to earn it by keeping those relationships and doing good work. Mm-hmm. I think when it comes to job searching, what I'm finding out or hearing a lot is people are kind of standing in their own way more than anything else, right? Mm-hmm. Their own fears and insecurities and, you know, whatever they've made up in their head, you know, almost stops them more often than any other part of the job search process. So I think it's a mental hurdle to kind of get over that, but you're going to have mental hurdles, whether you're in your dream job, not your dream job, launching a business, not. So it's, mm-hmm. it's probably good practice to figure out how you can, manage that. So for that person, yeah, I'd be like, you've absolutely earned it. That's why you've been doing this without, and it's okay that you've been doing it without knowing that you've been doing that. That's mm-hmm. actually the best part about it.
Right. And that's how I felt too. And no one gets a job based on, like, no one says you have to hire Lauren and I say, okay,
yeah,
here's the form.
Absolutely. No, like the girl I recommended, all they did was bring her in for the interview. Mm-hmm. So maybe I helped her get her name to the top of a pile, but she came in for the interview. She, you know, blew them away with her in her interview, for example. And she's the one that continues to do great work.
Right. Right. So you get the door open, but mm-hmm. it's up to you to stay in the room, whether you want to or
yeah.
they want you to be there.
The person I reached out to, I sent my email or I sent my resume to them via email and I said, could you send this to the right person? All they did was forward it off. Mm-hmm. But I did all the hard work and all they did was hit forward. So, you know, for the person who's thinking like, oh, but all my networking is, you know, some people are afraid to like cash in their, you know, their cards, so to speak, or I forget what the saying, mm-hmm. I'll say cash in, I don't know,
your
whatever.
Chips,
yeah. Cash yeah. in your chips. That's what it's there for. Right. Mm-hmm. And those people who you ultimately end up getting hired, it makes them look better too. Mm-hmm. So really, you're kind of doing them a favor.
Absolutely. And you touched on the fact that someone just forwarded the email. Like, you mm-hmm. had such an easy ask, and the person didn't hesitate, I'm sure. Like,
yeah.
We get, so, like you said, we get in our own way,
yep.
and we won't ask. I can't tell you how many women I've talked to that said, I just asked people, and you wouldn't believe
yeah.
they just did the thing I asked, or they just helped me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, people are so willing to help.
Yeah. And look, sometimes they're not, but that's the worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. And I do think that we get it, you know, I see this all the time with, like, a salary negotiation. Mm-hmm. You know, they're afraid to ask for the number, and, like, honestly, by the time they get to the part where they're actually asking, it's like they're more exhausted from their own, you know, thoughts in their head and all the scenarios they've built up than the actual act itself. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, that I get it. Job searches are mentally tough.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it can feel like you're on your own.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's tons and tons of resources mm-hmm. out there. And I do want to touch on one thing you mentioned when you were talking about, as we're wrapping up, I know we're wrapping up our time, but you touched on something so important when you talked about that admissions job mm-hmm. that wasn't the right fit for you. You mentioned that you knew in the interview that
yeah.
it wasn't the right fit for you. And I have so many people who come to me and they want to leave their job. It's not right. And they say, but what if every job's not right? And
yeah.
they almost always, unless there was a big change, mm-hmm. they knew in the interview
that
it wasn't
right,
but they didn't trust their gut. They said, you know, they squashed it. They said,
right.
no, you be quiet voice that is telling me no.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Tell me like more about that and how that's impacted you.
Well,
after.
You know, I really subscribe that to a job search strategy that is you should focus on the company first and worry about the job second. Mm. And I didn't do that at all with the admissions job. And if I had done that, I would have known that working for a university wasn't going to be a good fit for me. And part of that is the university was very much, it's 8:30 to 5. You have to be there in person. You go to lunch from 12 to 1. I mean, mm-hmm. the structure is like something I've never experienced
right.
before. And I'm like a very self-disciplined person. And so I one thing that was really important to me in whatever job I have is I want to be able to have a flexible schedule. That's mm-hmm. probably one of the number one things that leads to my happiness at work, followed by a bunch of other things. And that's the number one thing they absolutely do not offer and they will never offer. And it's never going to be part of their DNA.
Right.
And so let's just use that as an example. If I had thought about that and how strongly I felt about that before I went out and searched for jobs and applied for jobs, the university never would have even made my list, right? And it wouldn't have made my short list. So then when I discovered that I wanted to be a recruiter, I learned that about myself. And so I was only looking for companies that subscribed to the belief that employees were able to manage their own time and they weren't interested in managing the time for them, like they weren't micromanaging. Mm-hmm. Hulu had a great document called What Defines Hulu. And it talked a lot about the fact that, you know, we're not going to count your vacation days and we're not going to tell you when to come in and when to leave because we're all in this together and we're building that. And that really spoke to me because that was the type of work environment I wanted to work in. Mind you, I've never worked so many hours in my life as when I went to go work at Hulu, but that was because I wanted to, not because somebody was hovering over me. And if I didn't go to lunch at 12:05, they're like, so are you going to lunch today? You were supposed to leave 5 minutes ago.
Right.
And so the reason why that's important is not just so everyone knows here that I don't like being told what to do, but is because I think that if you think about, before you even embark on a job search, get really, I guess, do the hard work of figuring out what it is that makes you happy in a job, and then go out and do the research of what companies are offering that. Mm-hmm. And try to have a short list of about 5 companies that are offering what I call that match your career ideals. Mm-hmm. And then you can work your way back into a job from there, right? So like if I knew that Hulu was the place for me, I could have targeted Hulu first, and then I could have targeted recruiting. And that's essentially what I ended up doing through a long, convoluted way. But what a lot of people could do now, who, especially when you aren't sure what you want to do, that's a great way to start, is find companies first. Maybe you start in customer experience and you learn about the company and, you know, the culture and the product. And then from there, you're like, okay, I really want to get into marketing. It's way easier to move within a company than it is to transition, you know, from career A to career B. Oh, and throw in a new company in the middle of that.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's great. I mean, targeting companies is really great. And it also gives you hope. Like, there's that company.
Yes.
I know that exists.
Absolutely.
Somewhere.
And watch what will happen to you, your personality, when you have your short list of companies. I was on Cloud9. Even though I was in a job I hated, I was on Cloud9 because I knew what I wanted to do next. And I felt like there was hope.
It's the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Lauren, we could do a 2-hour show.
I know.
Happy that you came today. And actually, Lauren just mentioned that the webinar, that she and I did a webinar together called The Secret to Switching Careers, Even If You Have No Experience.
Yep.
And that's available on the Career Contessa website, and it's free.
Yep.
So you can check that out if you like our conversation or you just want to hear other conversations. We touched on some of the things we talked about today, but we really, really focused on the career changers. So thank you so much
for having me,
Lauren, and thanks everyone for listening. Jennifer's back next week.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.